Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the In 10 Years Time podcast with me, Ewan Blakeley. Today, we're doing another handball. We've got another handball guest. Last time, it was someone from GB women handball team. Now, we've got someone from GB's men's team, Joshua Plumridge. Josh, thanks for coming on. How you doing, mate?
So, it turns out this donkey forgot to press record for the first two questions. So, you missed the first two questions, but thankfully, I remembered. So there is still more of the podcast, but yeah, sorry for missing the first two questions. Now let's get straight back into it.
Close to the Peak District and places like that, so I think it's a great place to grow. It's not too big, not too small. I think it's good.
Cool. And what was school like balancing out of handball as well? Because I know you started handball at quite an early age and you were traveling around a lot for the sport. So like, how did you find balancing those two things?
Yeah, so I started handball at secondary school. I think it must have been probably year eight. Not sure what age is, about 14, I think, and something like that. I started at secondary school, yeah. So and it started to get quite serious from about year 10, 11. So obviously that's when exams start and GCSEs and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, there was times when I had to take time out of school to go away to competitions and things like that. But luckily, my teachers were all very supportive of it, and I took work away with me. How much of that work got done is a different story, but I took it away with me. My teachers supported me, and yeah, I was lucky that I had that support around me to help me with my GCSEs, and then same again with A-levels, which is probably a bit of a harder balance, because obviously it's a lot more tense in GCSEs, but yeah, again, my teachers supported me, and I was very lucky in that sense.
And did you ever want to do anything other than handball itself? Like, you know.
In terms of a sport or career?
Or just like a career path or whatever. Like, I don't know, you're doing handball quite regularly when you were young, but at the time, yeah. Were you thinking of doing anything else, or were you just all in on handball?
So yeah, when I was at school, when I was younger, I was one of those kids that just played every sport. I played rugby for a while before handball, and then it got to the age where my PE teacher sat me down actually and had a conversation with me about it and said, it's going to get to that point where you're trying to do too many sports and you're best to focus your body and everything on one sport in particular. So at that point, obviously I think I was playing handball and rugby at that point. And obviously inherently there's a lot of injury risk with rugby, so they sat me down and said, look, you're probably best to commit to one sport, and that's what I did. I sat down and committed to handball, but at the same time I always focus on my studies as well. I think my parents wanted that, and you see a lot of stories about people that don't focus on their studies, and then with sport there's always so much that can go wrong, isn't there? I think it's always very important to have a backup plan. So yeah, at the same time, I was focused on that.
Yeah, like you hear a lot of kids from football academies, right?
And then exactly,
they think their parents are all in on it, and then they just have one injury, and then that just ruins it for them, and they can't get back into school because they don't have the right qualifications or whatever. So yeah, I think that's definitely the right thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, so when you say you're working in Nottingham at them, because I know you're around the same age as me, so are you like studying like in uni at all at the moment, or?
Yeah, so I'm doing a degree apprenticeship at the moment, so I'm studying civil engineering, working as a structural engineer in my final year of uni now, so excited for it to be over to study, and I quite enjoy the working side of things, but studying's hard work, alongside work, doing a 4 days work, then going home, doing uni work, then going to training. It's quite intense,
Yeah. And like when you talk about that intensity, like how are you coping with balance? Because you were saying how A-levels is more intense than GCSEs, and also uni is another step up. So how are you balancing out uni with handball?
I'm balancing it quite well, to be honest. I'm quite good at getting stuff done when it needs to get done. I normally perform better when there's time constraints on uni work and stuff like that anyway, to be honest. So I managed to stay on top of it. My work are very, very supportive of that as well. When they, if I need some extra time at work to get some uni work done, they help me out in that sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, I find a balance.
Cool. That's good. And you mentioned earlier how like you lived a year abroad, and I believe that was in Portugal for the 2019-20 season. So first of all, I mean, I've got a couple of questions to this. First things first, how was it just living in Portugal? Because you're actually the second athlete who's done that, because there was a basketball player who did the same thing. He went over to Portugal and he played a bit for the university team over there. So how was that for you?
Yeah, Portugal's a really nice place. I lived in a region just outside of Porto, so it's nice to be in that big city. So I moved there when I was finished my A levels, then I moved straight there. So I was what, 18, which was obviously so it's my first time moving out. It's my first time living alone, and it was moving to a new country alone. So yeah, it was pretty daunting, pretty scary, but it was a really nice place. Yeah, we spend a lot of time training out in Portugal, actually, because we have a lot of our head coach is Portuguese, assistant coach is Portuguese, so they have a lot of connections out there. So yeah, it was a really nice place to live. A bit too hot for me, but yeah.
Yeah, and like obviously that was the infamous 2019-2020 year. So like, what happened when COVID hit and all the lockdowns? Like, did you have to leave early or did you stay in Porto for like that period?
Yeah, so when we look back at the COVID now, it's crazy looking back at it, isn't it?
But,
I remember at the time we when it was all started to kick off, we got called in by our team medic, and it sat us all down and was like, look, it's nothing big, just stay away from each other, like don't get too close in the showers, don't share drinks, all that sort of stuff. Couple of weeks and it'll be fine, wasn't it? That's how it was at the start. Now looking back at it, it's crazy to think that that's what people were saying. But yeah, so that was our first chat with the medic, and then next thing you know, all competition was getting stopped. What we thought was for a couple of weeks, our coach said if you'd rather go home for a couple of weeks and then come back, you're more than welcome to. And luckily I did, because otherwise I would have been stuck out in Portugal. I think I got one of the After I landed, I don't think there was too many flights actually coming back home, so I would have ended up spending a couple of years out there. So, I was glad I came home, but it was a shame it ended early.
Yeah, that's just mad, isn't it? How just like by that short amount of time, you could have actually been living there for far longer than you thought.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you'd have been fluent in Portuguese and everything,
exactly,
but you know. So you got involved with handball at the age of 13, because when I spoke to Florence Steeple, she got involved with handball a bit later. I think it was more like later on in high school, but you got involved at the age of 13. So like, how did you get involved with it? Because obviously it's not a big sport over here in the UK.
Yeah, so I got involved with it because we started, it's on the GCSE PE curriculum.
Right.
So I also hadn't heard of it. And then our PE teachers, our PE department started playing it with us, because there was a schools competition at year 8 and 10, I believe. So they wanted to enter into that. So we got a team together, entered into that. And that's where it all started. We did quite well in the schools competition. It was regionally, and then it became national, so we made it through the first stages, went to the national ones, and that's how we got into it. And then our school got quite good at it, to be honest, because there was a lot of us playing. A lot of older boys were playing as well, because they were playing outside of school, so obviously they helped develop and so on.
And then you obviously went, once you did really good at school level, and then you joined the club in Nottingham, and then you went on to go and play for GB at youth level, and also nationally now as well, also at a very young age, right? So like, how was that playing for the national team at quite an early thing? Like, did you find it very daunting? Like, what were your feelings when you that first game or first training session with the national team?
Yeah, so I think my first competition was for England under 16s. I was I was 15, I think. We went away for a competition in Hungary. in Veszprém in Hungary. That was pretty amazing. It all happened so fast, to be honest. I was lucky that I had some people I knew from other clubs that were also in the same setup. And we went through the whole youth development together. So that was really nice to stick together with them and support each other. But yeah, the first time playing in Hungary is a bit of a shock to the system, to be honest. It was very different to what we was used to here. But we did pretty well in that tournament, and it was we had a good coaching team around us, and yeah, it was a great experience. I think the younger you can start being exposed to all those different styles of play in the different countries and all that sort of thing, the better, really.
And you've already mentioned that a couple of like countries that you went to, they're in Europe, right? And you mentioned that your head coach for the GBs, like Portuguese. Why do you think handball is so much bigger in Europe than it is here in the UK? I feel like the UK is like one of the only countries in Europe that just doesn't really, you know.
It's I couldn't tell you either, to be honest. I think as I'm sure you're aware, handball in all these other European Scandinavian countries, in some cases it's the second biggest sport after football. I think the issue is in this country is people just don't haven't seen it played at a high level. I think there's a lot of everyone that comes and gets to see handball at a high level. I've never spoke to someone after a good game, just watched a good game of handball for the first time, and they haven't been impressed. They're always shocked at how fast it is, how physical it is, how intense it is. And I think a lot of people don't realize what it actually entails. And I think it just needs that increase in exposure, because it's obviously so big in all these European countries for a reason. And I think since it's been introduced to books and all that sort of stuff, that's going to help massively. But it is growing; it's growing fast, and I think it'll just keep growing, to be honest. I think it's a
And so what do you think could be done to make handball bigger in this country? Like, is there anything in particular you feel like, because Florin is saying how, you know, it's just to do stuff with schools, and I imagine you probably think something similar should be done as well. Like, what would you do if you were in charge to make handball bigger here in the UK?
I think there is a lot of work going into the making handball a bigger sport. And I think, as with any sport, it all starts with grassroots. It's all getting it into primary schools, getting it people playing at a young age, because the issue is that you get a lot of people playing in primary school and younger age groups and secondary school. But like was the thing with me. Everyone's always playing all these different sports, and it'll get to a point where they have to decide which sport they're going to commit to. And you see a lot of people committing to the normal sports, to football, to rugby, to stuff like that. And it's finding a way to get that transition from people playing at schools to people playing outside of schools. And that's happening. I know there's a lot going into the school competitions, primary school competitions, and I think that's what it needs to give younger players the exposure to actually play games. And because obviously everyone enjoys, well, a lot of people enjoy training, but everyone enjoys the games more, don't they? So it's getting people playing regularly at school competition, and getting that transition to take them from the school competitions to playing in clubs. I think that's what we need.
I mean, I'm a little bit surprised as well, because obviously, like, we live in a world where we're like short form content, or, you know, it's like TikTok and everything snappy and fast. Like, and handball, I saw something the other day that said that handball is the second, I can't remember what it's behind, but it's the fast second fastest sport. In
Yeah,
like,
second fastest after ice hockey. Indoor sport
that's
after
it,
ice hockey.
that's it, ice hockey. Yeah, just in terms of the ball and play time, and, you know, the pace of it. So yeah, I think that's another reason why it could get bigger. I don't know if you wanted to add on that as well.
I completely agree. Yeah, so fast paced. Like you see some sports, don't you, when they show you the stats and the ball in play time, and it's so low compared to the length of the game. And you're seeing in a lot of sports now, they're trying to improve that, aren't they? They're trying to speed things up. Rugby, they're adding shot clocks. Cricket, they're changing to the 100 series to speed it all up, to change that modern game where people are more interested in watching it, aren't they? And handball's fast enough already, to be honest.
Yeah, cool.
Nice one. I also read in an article that you, I'm not sure if you still do, but when you did do coaching a bit as well on like part time, is that something you're thinking of doing? Like, obviously, I know you're focusing on your degree and you might want to go into engineering after, but is coaching as well something you're thinking of doing after your career?
Not right now. It's not something I can see myself doing at the moment. No, I
Yeah.
think when I know some players that do see themselves coaching in the future, but at the moment I can't imagine being on a court and not wanting to get that step into the game. Do you know what I mean? And I think as a coach, you need to separate yourself from playing the game and coaching the game, don't you? And I think at the moment I can't see myself wanting to be on a handball court and not playing, but maybe in the future as I get older I will, but not right now. I can't see myself doing that, no.
And at the moment, just talking about your season in handball, how you're doing in handball at the moment. You've had hand injuries in the past. Like how are your like injuries now? Like, do you feel good? Like you don't have any problems?
Yeah, I don't have any major injuries at the moment, touch wood. But obviously, there's little niggles. No one's playing a sport without any little injuries, are they? But yeah, at the moment, our season's going pretty well for club. We're second in the league, just going into second phase now, so can't really complain there. We've been pretty focused on international stuff recently because, well, I have personally, because we've just had two pretty big competitions, two pretty big fixtures for Great Britain. So we're pretty on top of keeping fit and healthy for them. But yes, the club season's going well. We've got some training camps coming up ne next month for GB. So yeah, focused on keeping fit for them at the moment and doing everything we can to be prepared for them.
Yeah, and I also read an article that one that you wanted to play regularly for you for like a European club one day. Is that something you're still looking to do after your degree, and do you have any idea where in particular?
Yeah, so as we discussed, the issue with handball being small here, or not as big as it is in Europe, is that there's just not the opportunities to play at a high enough level here. If you look at our GB seniors team, I think there's only three of us that are actually play out of the UK. The rest of the team's fully based in Europe. We've got boys in Germany, Switzerland, Spain, France, all over the place, and it will get to that point. I'm lucky that I'm ma managing to keep the intensity up, and keep up with those boys while playing in the UK. But for me to keep developing fully and keep playing for Great Britain, at some point I will have to, if I want to do that, I will have to go abroad and play for a club abroad, just because the level's so much higher. The facilities, everything's just a different level out there, and you need that exposure to the high level game to keep playing for Great Britain. So, yeah, it's definitely something I want to do. I'm not sure which route I want to go down yet, whether that be getting a job abroad and playing for a club while working abroad, or just going and playing for a club. But and yet again, where there's a lot of options. I think there's a lot of talk about Spain and Portugal, but also I'd like to go and be experienced as somewhere like Norway or Switzerland or France, something like that. But yeah, there's a lot of opportunities out there, and I think to keep competing at a high level for Great Britain, I will need to go and play club handball again. We're lucky that a lot of boys, like I say, are based abroad, so there's a lot of connections out there, and everyone can help each other out with those connections. So, yeah.
And couple more questions. One, who do you think is going to win the Olympics on the men's and the women's?
Well, men's going off to the teams at the moment, it's going to be between Denmark and France. France have just won, so.
I was thinking France.
Yeah, probably France. I like to see
In
Germany do
Paris as
well.
well.
Exactly. Yeah, I think their team's made for it. They've got a lot of stars in their team. I think yeah, they'll thrive playing in Paris. But I think Denmark, they've got an amazing team. Germany again have got an amazing team. So, but I think, yeah, France will probably do it. The women's side, under pressure there. I'm not too up to date with the women's handball, to be honest.
Is it good?
Yeah, I can tell you, to be
Okay, yeah,
honest.
no worries, man. Don't worry. And last question, I always ask my guests this. Obviously, it's 2024 now. I know we're looking a bit ahead, but in 2034, in 10 years' time, where would you like to see yourself?
10 years' time, 25. I'll
Tough
be
question.
32 then. Yeah, I'm trying to work out where I'll be in life.
Yeah.
I think in 2032 I will have. W I'm not sure where I'll be in life, but I definitely will have. I'll be 32, so I definitely will like to be able to look back and know that I've given handball a good go playing for a European club. I wouldn't like to be 32, whether I'm still playing or not. I wouldn't like to look back and think, I had this opportunity to go and play for a European club or go professional, and I didn't take it. So I'd like to, whether I'm playing handball or not, be able to look back and say, I took my opportunities, I did everything I could, and be happy that I did that.
Yeah. Josh, thanks so much, mate. Really good to chat to you. And yeah, thanks so much.
No, thanks a lot. It's been great. Great to
Thank
chat.
you. Thank you.